This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm Pusha T.
What? What up?
What's up?
Welcome to Microphone Check.
Thank you, thank you.
I remember the first time Ali heard Numbers on the Board.
Oh, my God.
What was that like?
Tell me what you heard.
What did I hear? I don't know. It was just angst, frustration, hooray for hip-hop. Like, thank you, thank you. It's a few songs that is like the representation of the entire genre, and I was like, finally.
Ballers, I put numbers on the boards.
Feel all right? I don't know, that song's so ignorant. It's just when they come on, that tone, that bass line, the frequency of the song, just that pulse.
I'm so bossy, bitch, get off me. It's a different jingle when you hear these car keys. Your SL's missing the S, nigga. Your plane's missing the chef. The common theme, see they both got wings. If you fly, do it to death. It's only one God and it's only one crown. So it's only one king that can stand on this mound. King push, kingpin, overlord. Coast Guard come 100 going overboard. I got money with the best of them. Go blow for blow with any Mexican. Don't let your side bitches settle in. Might have to head, but you ever land. Ballers, I put numbers on the boards.
That record, I picked it because when I heard the track, it was the closest thing I could get to a RZA beat at the time. I felt like it was an unorthodox beat that required me to really rap. And I figured that's going to just, you know, set me apart from what's going on in music, because I don't believe people are, like, really, really rapping. And, you know, it's just polarizing. Like, you know, when you hear it, it's going to be like, I don't know how the DJ is going to mix that in his set. And that was sort of like the goal.
Motherfuckers can't rhyme no more, about crime no more.
Mix drug and show money, Biggs Burke on tour. 25 bricks, move work like chore. Hit Delaware twice, needed 25 more. I see flaw, cracks in your diamond. CB4, when you rhyme, Simple Simon. Come and meet the pieman, a must that I flaunted. The legend grows legs when it comes back to haunt us. Ballers, I put numbers on the boards. Can't a bitch live inside.
I love that record. Yo, I was just in Austria just 2 days ago.
Okay.
And I just got back yesterday, but my set was 2 days ago. It was a film festival. And it was the kind of song, like, I just try to move it through the periods or whatever. It doesn't, if it's music, I play it. But the thing I love about that, it doesn't matter if I'm playing, like, Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Yeah.
Annie Up, like, it just, it is the record that sets a tone. So it's a great transition record for someone like me that plays a whole bunch of different genres, but it's just like, it's just a wake-up call when it drops.
Yeah, that definitely was the purpose.
Thank you.
Tell me, like, how you, as a musician, you hear beats differently from, like, regular people. First of all, you've said that you rapped over a skeleton of that song, and then Ye put the finishing touches on it.
Yeah.
So what did you hear? Like, what sound?
Well, that was less of a skeleton. That was pretty much, there may be like drum changes, the cuts and things like that that were added to that particular beat.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much dialed in.
Okay.
What it was when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually the process. I usually will hear Ye will give me a beat or a loop or anything, and he'll tell me, like, what part of the beat do you like?
Huh.
Once I pick that part of the beat, I'll write to that part. We'll loop that part, and I'll just write to that.
Okay.
Once I write to that, then I'll give that back to him. Then he'll build around that.
Crazy. Okay.
So, I've never been like, I don't think I'm like a great A&R by any means. I don't even know production lingo, in all honesty. And that's from being around the Neptunes starting out. And yeah, like, I've never took that time to just be, you know, I think I sat down and studio, I was like, man, yo, I need to learn how to make a beat. And it just didn't work out well. But like, I really left that. I always leave that in the hands of the producer.
Okay.
Like, all I'm about is just the pen.
It's crazy to hear you say you don't think, you know, you're a good A&R because you pick monster songs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I pick the unorthodox songs. That's what I do believe that. I think that's what I go for. But that's only because, you know, my first record commercially to the public was Grinding.
Come on. From ghetto to ghetto, the backyard to yard, I sell it whip on whip, it's off the hard. I'm the neighborhood pusher, call me subwoofer, cause I pump bass like that, Jack, on or off the track. I'm heavy cuz, ball to your fathers, you can duck to the Fetty Gov. Sorry my love, but I'm seeing through these eyes. Benz convoys with the wagon on the side. Only big boys keep deuces on the ride. Gucci Chuck Taylor with the dragon on the side. Man, I make a buck, why scram? I'm trying to show y'all who the fuck I am. The Jews is flirting, be damned if I'm hurting. Legend in two games like I'm Pee Wee Kirkland. Platinum on the block with consistent hits. Why Pharrell keep talking this music shit?
People don't want to hear conventional from me ever since that record. No one wants to hear me over some, you know, smooth, you know, regular beat or just into the times. Even I try to do records sometimes that, you know, have a different bounce or maybe it's a southern bounce or something. Right. And, you know, people shoot me all day long.
So, like, when you have a song like Blocka, like, right, the difference between Blocka and Numbers, like, what's your approach when... Is it you looking for those kind of like style songs? Are you telling a producer like, this is the direction, or are you just kind of completely let them come with it, and then the music starts talking to you?
Well, the Blocka record was presented to me, but I just thought that was I thought it was an incredible beat. I personally feel that the Chicago sound and Young Chop is the sophisticated trap. And I think I can get away with doing that versus doing conventional Southern Atlanta trap. I feel like what he does and how he incorporates that Chicago sound lets me get away with toying with the trap feel. But, you know, it sort of goes with the intricacies of my lyrics. Hmm. You know, when I'm building a project out, like even with this album right here, I went back and I said, man, I want to build this album from 1994 to 99. I went to all my inspirations from 94, you know, somewhere within that period. And that was the goal. I was, you know, Numbers on the Board and Nostalgia to me were records that I was like, man, you know, this is the closest I can get to RZA.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and you know, I mean, I hope he likes those records. He actually does like Numbers, but I hope he likes Nostalgia. But I, you know, and I told him when I had it, I didn't play him Nostalgia, but I had both beats, and I was like, man, they're two beats that remind me of you know, of you in some capacity, and that's why I chose them. And there's a record I got on the album with Kelly Rowland, and I sort of wanted people to understand that I got a love for R&B too. Like, you know, people look at me and they like, man, it's just street hip hop raps. And I'm like, man, do you know that like Teddy Riley moved to Virginia Beach and ruined my whole life? Like, I just thought he was the greatest person ever. You know, I wanted people to know that. And so I went ahead and I took the Mace flow, because that's something else that people don't know. And I did this, you know, sort of in the same vein that Big would rhyme like Too Short.
Boy, let me love you. I know that you think I'm the one, but who doesn't? Comes with the territory when you buzzing. A ball player saw you a dream, ain't do nothing. Couple rappers under your belt, but who's judging? I ain't trying to guide you hand on Bible, but Instagram pics show more than side views. $30 new cat suits is not cute, and 50 comments on ass is not fluke. So no cuffing, no buns in the oven. If my girl called your phone, she just bluffing. As long as you and I both know, we just fucking. If anybody else do ask, we just nothing. Boy, you got that 6 in the morning. You got that thing to make a girl feel hot.
Big was like the greatest rapper to me. I didn't know he liked Too Short, man. I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying? When I heard, I'm like, Too Short, Big, what y'all doing? Like, But it was amazing. But that's what I was sort of trying to just, you know, get across to people in this album. I feel like, you know, my name is my name. The title, it's all about me. The artwork, that's why the artwork is so stripped down. Mm. It was about minimalism. Because we living off of lyrics and beats and songs, and that's what we getting across. No filler. Mm-hmm. It's 12 songs. And I had to fight for 12 because it was supposed to only be 9. Ye was wanted only 9 records. And I was like, man, I understand I need that. 12, man. And I was like, and my win was, man, Yeezus got 10 songs, so how you only gonna give me 9? So then he had to sort of think about it and be like, all right, man. And he just let me get my artist thing off. You know?
Yo, you gotta admire and commend your artistry. It's just so refined. Like, it's just, I mean, I think you're supposed to grow as an artist, and, mm-hmm. you know, and you're supposed to be able to look back and go, oh, yeah, I can see the growth, you know, and just your artistry, just
thank you.
Explaining everything, the detail of picking the beats, picking the, you know, the right. amount of songs, the artwork, all that. That's important. And even the time period.
Yeah.
That you were trying to focus on for this record, just to hear that is so inspiring.
See, it was LL. He made a statement. I mean, it was a line, and I forgot what song it was, but he said he this is a beat that you can front to.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that, right?
On Boomin' System.
Boomin' System, right?
Yeah.
And I always felt like in making this album that's what was missing in hip hop. Mm. Hip hop to me right now is really easy listening. It's very easy listening. Like, it's nothing abrasive about it. Mm-hmm. There's no album that I put in my car that makes me roll down the windows, all the windows, and ride past the club line 3 times before I get out the car. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Purple Tape made me do that. You know what I'm saying? It's things like that that made me like, it made me front, you know?
Yeah, you got me thinking. I'm racing my brain now going, like, yo, who?
No. Every song, every album right now is, I mean, in whether, you know, there are good albums out there, but they're very easy listening.
Yeah, because I'm actually thinking about Yeezus. It was the last time I was in L.A. when mm-hmm. that album dropped, and I was like, I couldn't really get it until I put it on in the car, and mm-hmm. then I was out. All the time, over and over and over. And I started seeing other people do it, too. And I was like, oh, I get it.
And the thing about that, I don't even consider Yeezus. Like, we were making these both of these albums simultaneously. Uh-huh. And when he came out with it, people, you know, it was either you loved it or you hated it. Mm-hmm. And everybody just pointed their attention towards me. Like, yo, man, he made this. If they didn't like it, they were like, Pusha. What was you doing? What was you at? What was going on? And I'm like, man, you guys don't even get it. When he first started like playing beats and picking sounds and everything, he was like, yo, I don't want to be mentioned in the same breath as any rapper. Mm. Any rapper. And I was like, okay. So I knew already where this was going. I already knew, you know what I'm saying, the direction in which he was going with that. So my thing is, man, I want to be rap God. You know, I was like, so listen, just divert the unorthodox stuff that you're doing with Yeezus, you know, but give me my hip hop, you know what I'm saying, cadences and feels and so on and so forth. Like, carve that out mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. Like, so when you're picking a beat, when you're or a part of a beat, and then you're thinking about how to write to it, what are you listening for?
To me, it's just the knock, man. It's the knock and the groove of the beat. Okay. Like, when I start a song, it's the first thought. Because it's the first thought and the first cadence. Because that's the most natural. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people can feel when something is natural. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, I think they can
it's
tell.
It's long-lasting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, you know, the first, and I learned that, I actually learned that from Pharrell. Like, he was like, man, you overthinking things. You can really overthink as a writer. So, you know, I check for the groove and the knock of it and just, you know, just what it makes me feel like and think. And then it may be a melody that I come up with, and then I'll just plug in words mm-hmm. into that right. melody. And then I'll start the actual process. Because right. I feel like you need to be trapped off the, you know, of how natural it is and how natural it feels to you.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that the best rap writers write a melody first.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not fair to say across the board, but it feels like it.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true.
How do you notate that? Like, do you write down the melody or do you just like?
Oh no, it's just a hum.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing for me. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to write. Like I see people like doing things in their Blackberries and like I need like paper lines, like alphabets. Like I need to see it. It's so elementary, man. People would be like, it's so elementary.
Yeah. Do you scribble and cross stuff off?
Oh man,
paper look crazy.
Yeah, it looks incredibly bad. And then like if it gets too crazy, then it has to go. Like I can't look at it anymore. Like the final of it looks perfectly neat.
Oh, what you take into the booth?
Because that's how I have to read it and process it.
Wow, and so you take the paper in there.
Yeah.
You're worried about a paper making noise?
No,
that's.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's like a news thing. Like that's a problem for us, not a problem for you guys.
Nah, that's the that's
that can
part
be
of
natural,
art.
Man. You keep your chains on. You hear this. You like yeah. You be like yo. It's like, and then that's like the, you know, you're so into. I mean, I am. I'm so into what I've said, and I've said it. You know, I probably said the first four lines 40 times, then getting to the next four or whatever, that you begin feeling it and knowing how you hear it and knowing how you want it relayed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the paper is just reinforcement for me. Mm-hmm. Like really, you damn near memorized it by just from saying it so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you when because Kanye said in his latest BBC interview, he said he had to remind Push that you push. What does that mean?
I think that because we've had conversations, and I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, just his direction for me. If Kanye had his way, I would make 9 of the darkest records every time I dropped an album. Mm-hmm. Now, my favorite artists are Jay-Z, Notorious Big. These guys got More Money, More Problems in their discography. They got Can I Get a What?
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I go outside. You know what I'm saying? I go outside. I'm a part of the life. So, you know, Glaciers of Ice 9 times doesn't necessarily work for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, and just where I see myself, he loves that. And he's just like, man, we're just going to draw everybody into that because I feel like those are the best records. And I'm like, you know, I want to expand and make other joints too.
You think about that from a performance perspective as well, or is it?
That was his biggest thing. He was like, well, you know, if you got, you know, a feature or something this singing or something, how are you going to perform it? Like his biggest, he was thinking from a performance perspective. I personally, I'm thinking about the CD, CD car,
<Right. laughs>
and getting out there in the streets, you know. And I think, you know, when he said that's what he was thinking. And it's not that I don't know, you know. I love Keys Open Doors and Hell Hath No Fury is my favorite album, but I just know I'm more than that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a part of the world too.
Yeah. True artist sounds like
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also what you're saying is they can't go outside, right?
What do you mean?
Like, Jay and Ye, they can't really be outside. Like, you can be outside.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I feel like I have my hand on the pulse of what's going on outside.
Right, like you bring something to them as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Tell me about, like, I don't know, I'm kind of stuck on the writing thing. It's mm-hmm. really interesting to me, but how important is voice in rap?
Extremely to me. I feel like a lot of my fans are drawn in because I'm articulate.
Uh-huh.
You know, it started off like this. Like when I first got in the game, you know, I put out this grinding record. People were like, "What is this?" And you know, the streets knew. And honestly, it took people think that it was like a success. It took really 9 months to break that record. I was doing, for 9 months, I was doing $3,000 shows with me and my brother for every drug dealer in the country because they knew what I was saying in these records. Everybody else just was like, the beat was just, you know, captivating, or was, you know, it was dynamic, but they didn't know, you know, exactly what we were talking about. They didn't know what it was about. They didn't know anything about the culture. I mean, and I'm talking about literally somebody would be having a birthday party. The neighborhood hustler would be having a birthday party, and he would want to book us. And it would just be his neighborhood, and they would be praising him. And this guy was who he was. But he knew exactly what was going on in this song, and he was exposing people to this. And I did that for 9 whole months. So it's like, you know, after that broke and it went national, people began to listen to us, and they understood we were articulate. We were drawing parallels that have to do with, like, history and so on and so forth in our rhymes. And that sort of brought in, like, a college base. So that's why it's like, you know, you go to my shows, and I said in the line, I'm the only one that can mix the hipsters with felons and thugs. Like, my shows are so diverse, but, you know, they're listening from two different perspectives, I believe. One's relating, and one is just like, man, did he just say that? Did this guy just say, I know what he's talking about, but did he just say it with this in regards to this? And you know, it's, you know, the fundamentals of hip-hop still play an important role. Because it's about those similes, those metaphors, those parallels. And to some people, it's just about, man, I'm really relating to the lifestyle.
Do you go in more so with the intent to talk specifically to maybe someone who can relate to the lifestyle? Or is it, you know, you're cognizant of, like, I got these other people who want to take an interest into peeking in?
I talk specifically to the lifestyle and those who can relate to it. And I feel like, you know, where the creativity comes in is when you draw the parallels that everybody can relate to. That's where it's creative for me. And I feel like that it works best that way. Sometimes I'll write, and me and my brother, and we had a clique called the Re-Up Gang. Mm-hmm. And it was four of us, and we would write, and we put out these mixtapes. And sometimes we'd be like, man, nobody's going to understand that. And we would call that just sacrificing for the greater good. Because if they don't understand it, it would be like when I didn't understand something on a Reasonable Doubt album, and I found out in 99 what he actually said in 96.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, that's what that was about? And then you got to listen to it, and you like, oh, my God. Like, it, you know, when it smacks you later, it's greater. Like, it, you know what I'm saying? Like, we call that sacrificing for the greater good, because once it honestly hits you, man, people think you're such a genius. Because that's how, like, everybody we looked up to and hit us like that. When Rakim was broken down for me, and I realized it later as I got older, you couldn't tell me. Or Kane, you couldn't tell me.
So can you give us just like an insider's perspective of your mind based on that, from your music being more, I mean, to the people who are from the culture, they understand it's more than the surface.
Right.
You know, what you're talking about in the images and how you articulate, you know, the lifestyle and the culture. You know, what some would call the underworld, to me it's just oppression in America. And
right.
From, you know, not really having and
right.
Having to create, you know, are you cognizant of trying to make it so that is, you know, the other people, they get deeper than what's on the surface, or you just...
I mean, you know, it's funny, man, because I try to make sure that everybody understands. I've even found myself as a solo artist explaining in my raps more, because I feel like as part of the clips, I was the more brash, more arrogant one, just make colorful verses. My brother's 5 years older than me. He was always, we call him the voice of reason. And he's the more conscious side of it, right?
Okay.
So as a solo artist, now it's like I find myself, you know, trying to explain more and explain the perspective of my mentality, or, you know, the mentality I'm trying to convey.
Is that a responsible, you know, thing to try and really push the music, no pun intended, beyond what is on the surface?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's being responsible, and it's also I feel like it's really trying to lock the listener in. Like I don't ever want anyone to just hear my music and just look at it as just gratuitous violence or you know, hustling and money getting and I mean I try to tell the perspective of the woman, the man, the mind. Why? I mean, I found myself even talking about my parents' 35-year marriage that ended in divorce, and how that affects me. And I don't like to put this on music because I feel like music gets a very, very bad rap in regards to, like, I feel like music is the only entertainment field that, like, has to be so responsible.
Yeah.
Like, I never understood that. I never understood why movies don't have to be as responsible, or the responsibility stops with rated R.
Right.
Like, I feel like music, you put the sticker on it, you make the clean version,
right.
Then you you know, you're explaining yourself, and then you have to do charities to offset what you just said. No one else has to do this. It's like, yo, and mind you, and then you come under fire. You come under so much fire for your lyrics and your content.
That's true.
Man, I don't think it's right, but I think I understand it a little bit, because music is so much more intimate, because it's like in your ear, you feel like it's in your head. And then, like, the fact that rap gets more heat than other genres is obviously racism and, like, structurally, and it's whatever. But there's so many personal stories also. And so when you're listening, it's like, are you the I? Or are you the person that's being acted upon? I mean, music moves us further emotionally, I feel like, than movies.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Like, you get, then when a tragedy happens and they blame it on a movie, well, you know what I'm saying? When a tragedy happens and something goes crazy in the movie theater, and, you know, you have deaths, mass, then, you know, I don't know that. And let me tell you something. I'm a bit removed, too, because I can't say that music ever made me do anything.
Yeah, music never made me do anything.
But I mean, but maybe it's because of how I was brought up. I mean, you know, it never made me do it. Like, ever made me do anything. It's just like, to get into that is a bit much. I just feel like, you know, I explain myself more. I'm trying to be more conscious about it. I mean, simply, and just, you know, just enlightening my fan and letting them know just to lock into me, because I'm speaking real with them more than anything.
I think we feel that, though.
Yeah.
It's no thinking about it. People, you know, they do. Do you feel that you miss, like, having a partner like your brother?
Man.
Making, you know,
makes it so much easier. My brother made it so much easier.
Is he ever around when you're working on this? Or do you bring him in and just, you know?
No, I mean, no. He's never around while I'm working. I mean, you know, for verses, you know, if I'm impressed and I'm like, yo, man, you got to hear this. But no, other than that, no. You know what? When we worked on his album, he put out an album earlier this year called Hear Ye Him, right? Debuted number 11 on the Billboard Gospel charts. And he called me. He was like, yeah, I want you on this song. And I was like, all right, no problem. So he was like, I'm only giving you 8 bars, and here's my verse. So he says this incredible verse to me. And it was like, it just brought me back to Clips days, where I'm like, man, how am I going to outdo this? You've said it. You're in pocket. You're so in pocket before I haven't even heard the beat yet. You know what I'm saying? And that competitive nature. And then he was like, I'm only giving you 8 bars. So, you know, you can't even outdo him. And in 8, I couldn't outdo him in 8. But, you know, it just brought me back to that, man. And
did he bring out the best in you?
Totally. Because there's an unspoken rule of a bar that, you know, you can't fall under. And he knows when I'm cheating. Or he knows you didn't care about the last 2 lines because you know I'm coming after you, so you didn't care. You need to go back in. He definitely brought out the best in me. Definitely.
Is there anyone else that pushes you that way to make you go back if it's something that, you know, I mean?
Man, Kanye. Kanye more than any other producer I've ever worked with. And I think I've worked with at least four of the super producers, you know, that carry the title, I guess. He's the only one.
Name the other three.
The Neptunes, Timbaland, Swizz. And he's the only one that, like, really, you know, makes me go back in. I wrote the Runaway verse numerous times.
Did you ever feel like, yo, this is it? Like, just trust me on this? And it was still, you know, like, you really had to stand your ground on it?
Yeah, I was wrong, though. Like, I did write it numerous times, and the last one was it. And I thought it was it, too, before then. Man, it's been a lot. Even with the I don't like verse. That verse is really 16 bars long. I think he edited down to maybe 8 or 10 bars.
How does that make you feel in terms of like your approach in working with people? Because I'll give you an example. Sometimes, like, you know, I know it's my job as the producer to just listen to it and be like, okay, yeah, that's great, or no, that's not exactly it.
Exactly.
And also, you know, wanting to respect the space of the writer and the artist and the vision that they have. And it's just like, how does that, you know, especially up against someone like Kanye and you, obviously, you know, proving yourself, how does that transform what the next, you know, experience is going to be with that producer or just in your own working with other people?
Well, I definitely go into the studio knowing I have to give it 150%. I mean, knowing that he's about to hear it. You know what I'm saying? And I go in with that mentality, like, there's no lacks, especially if I'm, you know, if I love it and I'm adamant about the record and the beat and everything, I'm like, man, I gotta nail this because I don't even want him to pick my rhymes apart at all. It makes you a better writer because, first of all, as a writer, you have a huge ego. You think that every line means something to everybody the same way it means to you. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's not true. And I learned that with that example, the don't like verse. So I'm, you know, and I got these incredible lines that I just feel are so street oriented and heavy in the streets. Now mind you, I did put it out, the unedited version, and you know, you got the guys on Twitter who are like, man, if you don't know the unedited version, right, I don't even want to hear from you because you ain't down, because the unedited version is everything. Why Kanye do you like that? Now, mind you, Ye, you know, his edit is the one that everybody's singing in the clubs for the whole summer. Like, I look at him and I say, you know what? You're thinking for the betterment of the song, and you got to fall back as an artist. And, you know, I didn't come in just as, like, you know, a writer that found producers. I came in under producers. So I've always respected the actual production process and just producers in general. I say all the time, when I get with certain producers, I turn into a total student. You just have to. Even now, you know, I've been in the game this long, like, but I don't hear everything that you guys hear. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
It's a different occupation. I mean, yeah, it's like in with writers, non-musician writers, you have an editor that you trust, and when you have an editor that you trust, you try harder, you take more risks, and you're better.
Right.
I don't know. I was totally distracted by you bringing up Runaway already. Can we talk about the performance? Did you feel, like, was that feeling, did you know that that was
a breakout moment?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, by the time I mean, from the ballerinas.
So, like, before you even came out, you're in the wings, oh, you're like, this is about to happen.
You mean for MTV?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, everything was so grand, like, from the lighting to the Ruska Bergen from Italian Vogue styling me for the thing. I'm like, what is going on right now?
Oh, you're pink on pink.
Yeah, my salmon colored, yep, blazer. Let's call it salmon, please.
Okay.
But, you know, it was just over the top. and you know, just to share the stage and to share the platform with Ye. And it was really dope. It was a juxtapose that he was on an MPC singing, rapping, you know what I'm saying? It was, and then having me on this record and on this stage with him, I knew it was gonna make an impact.
There's something about the tonal quality of your voice that is going to like grit up most production, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that was one of the reasons that that song hit so hard, because it was so many things at the same time. Do you think about your voice as an instrument?
I don't at all.
What about like with ad-libs?
Ever. I never do.
What about Yuck?
Yeah, that's just me being cocky, thinking I said something disgusting.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, but no, like, and he reminds me, like, yo, man, your voice is this track. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the beats get more and more stripped down, that's probably him taking out things because he wants it to cut through.
Yeah.
That's crazy, because your voice is so commanding and so powerful.
Man, I have, like, never have I ever even acknowledged it like that. Ever.